Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. As we deal with the boxing news, the interviews, legend tales, boxing history. So come travel as our radio aficionado Bob Murray takes us on another magic carpet ride around the world, live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Ben, welcome to the show, Bob. How you doing?
Very good, Aaron. Hello, yes, indeed. And today is the last Saturday of summer, so I always have to lament the ending of summer. All right. Well, ready to bring it on. Bring on the cold.
Yeah, well, a lot of things been happening this summer. I mean, the heat was just something this summer. I mean, a lot of heat, you know?
A lot of heat, yeah. It's going to be hot today, too, here. Good, bro. Get a little more 80 degrees. Up into the 80s today. Well, there we go.
Seems like, you know, with a lot of storms, our prayers go out to all the families down in Houston, you know, in our boxing community down there, which is a large boxing community down there in Houston, Texas, man, that Godspeed you recover and that we hope everyone's safe from the storm and that you're able to recover. Heartfelt.
Yes, indeed. Right.
Yeah, yeah. But, Bob, what do we got going on around the world here?
Yeah, we got something going on tonight. We'll talk about some of the other developments, and we'll look back on the Tyson Fury fight, too, a little bit later on. But, yeah, we're going to switch things up a little bit this morning. We're going to start out today in the Far East, going out to Tokyo, Japan, where Tsubasa Marachi, he steps in with Froilan Saladar, who's 30 wins, 3 losses, 1 draw. Marachi's 4-0. They fight for the vacant WBO Asia-Pacific Super Flyweight title. Also, Yusaku Kuga, 18-3-1, fights Yosuke Fujiwara, 18-6 for the Japanese Super Bantamweight belt. Other than Pang Phuong, Thailand, it's Malafon Kalkana, 46 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, 36 of those 46 wins by knockout. Defends his WBC Asian Boxing Council Bantamweight crown against the challenger Patrick Ryukoto, who's 9-1-1 with 7 knockouts. In Pattaya, it's Mirjan Yukubov versus Tarawa Ketsiri in the lightweight headliner. In Diaoling Shan, China, it's Zhong Zhao, 11-2-1, battling Sonnen Nihil, 9-4-2 for the WBA Asia Bantamweight crown. And in Qingdao, it's Yuchao Wang versus Zhao Zhen Li in the lightweight finale. On to Palanque City in Manila, Philippines, with light flyweights Arvin Mondramo, 10-1-1, and Francis J. Diaz, 8-1-1, duke it out. Jacob Eng, 11-0, 8 wins by KOs. He defends his IBF International lightweight title against Pablo Fuego, 15-4, down in Southport, Queensland, Australia, which also features unbeaten Dempsey McKean, 15-0, 9 KOs, taking on Patrick Edinea, who's 10-1, for the Open WBO Africa Heavyweight Championship. Gauteng in South Africa features co-main events. First, it's Marius Matamba, 11-0, crossing the ropes with the also unbeaten double Ronnie Makente, who's 8-0, and that's for both the WBA Pan-African and the IBF Continental Africa Super Lightweight titles. Then Kevin Lorena, he's 23-1, swings it out with Sefer Safari, 23-2-1 for the IBO World Cruiserweight belt. Outdoors with Abbottabad, Pakistan is where Hamid Khan faces Muhammad Muhammad in that super flyweight main event. New Delhi, India hosts the lightweight matchup of Rajesh Kumar, 10-0-1, and Ivar Rastria, who's 11-7-1. On the road now to Shakhtar, Albania, where heavyweights Perzan Sefkani and Andras Balázs Farkas meet up. In Budapest, Hungary, it's Norbert Hoxha, 11-2, and Barnabas Hegyi, 5-0, vying for the vacant Hungary middleweight belt. And the 13-2-3, Joseph Darmos and Ferenc Urban, 6-0, bound is for the Hungary cruiserweight strap. Roscoe Arsina in Tuscany, Italy, highlights the Catalan Ionescu versus Vincenzo Lafamina super featherweight class. Middleweight Egzon Malikaj and Milan Zivkovic do battle in Gebenstorf, Switzerland. Hengelsberg in Baden-Württemberg, Germany, will see 13-0-1 Roddy Kassem and the 25-21 Zoltan Zabo vying for the Open GBC World Super Welterweight crown. The Open PBU World Super Welterweight belt will go to the winner of the Denny Lehman versus Tomas Laska contest. Mike Jaide, he's 12-0, fights Nico Salzman, 17-12-3, for the Open GBC Intercontinental Super Welterweight crown. And Jihad Masih crosses the road for the Tari Gogovashvili for the vacant GBC Youth Middleweight title. The bantamweight showdown between Prince Patel, 20 wins, 1 loss, and a draw, and Luis Melendez, 47 wins, 12 losses, and a draw, tops the card in Mecklenburg. And in Hellbronn, the middleweight fight between Vlahos Spomer, 7-0, and Gergo Vadi, 22-25-1, ends tonight there. 15-0 middleweight, Bjorn Schick, he takes on Ronnie Mittag, 30 wins, 4 losses, and 3 draws in the feature in Zinovich. And in Live Online, it's Etem Bayramoglu versus Mindia Nazatse in the cruiserweight topper. Going up now to Riga Latvia, the welterweight showdown between Ivan Zvevkic and Sandro Zajanice is the main event there. And in Rotterdam, Netherlands, it's Mustafa Akha and Christine Bresko in the super lightweight headliner. Pedro Pineda takes on Karim Akhtunian in the super lightweight finale in Seville, Spain. In Madrid, Diana Luisa de Leon versus Carla Mendoza battle is the female featherweight main event. London, UK, is your call as busy as usual tonight, with the headliner being the Adrian Martin versus Ilya Markov super welterweight contest. In Liverpool, 9-0 Mick Ball tangles with Abdon Cesar in the super featherweight finale. 5-0 Jake Jones fights 11-4-4 Kamil Mazinski in a welterweight showdown in Manchester. Middleweight, Lee Cutler and Serge Ambomo face off in Bournemouth, Dorset. The fight for the vacant IBO Continental welterweight title between Anthony Tomlinson, 10-1, and Rob Hunt, 26-5-2, is the main event in Rotherham in Yorkshire. Over the Atlantic now to Buenos Aires, Argentina on Paxi Sports TV with Marcelo Esteban Cosetas, 27-0-1, 15 KOs, crossing the ropes with Herman Ignacio Peralta, 7-5-5. For the interim South American middleweight title. In Turkey, the flyweight bout pitting Bautista Lihu Gonzalez against Gabriel Quiroga tops the card. Girardot, Colombia features the light heavyweight matchup between Arturo Leyva and Miguel Angel Suarez. 6-0 super lightweight Jose Antonio Delgado Velasquez digs it out with Alonso Noria Solano in the headliner in Salamanca, Mexico, while in Romita, 7-0 super lightweight Donaldson Jair Valtierra is showcased. And Superfly's David Fernando Cuellar, 14-0, and Jordan Escobar, 15-8-2, go at it, and play a Pontilla. Next to Canada, West and the Baja will feature co-main event. First, Leonardo Baez, 16-2, steps in with Edison Perez, 19-4, for the NABA super bantamweight belt. And then we have the 29-1 Joseph Diaz taking on Jesus Cuadro, 18-5, in the super featherweight finale. In Tijuana at the Big Punch Arena, the night is capped with the Guillermo Casas, 8-2-1, versus Jesus Francisco Soto, 4-1 heavyweight clash. And over in the USA, we have the big card tonight on Fox Sports 1 coming out of Bakersfield, California, where the 18-0 Terrell Williams fight 24-3-1 Thomas Dulorme in the welterweight main event. Also, Peter Quinlan, 34-1-1, battles 25-7 Alfredo Angulo in a big super middleweight clash. And the 12-0 featherweight Chris Colbert faces off against Miguel Beltran Jr., who's 33-7. 15-0 bantamweight Gary Antonio Russell battles David Carmona there as well. Super welterweight Ishae Smith is featured in Newtown, North Dakota. And the 9-0 heavyweight Sean Seymour is the main attraction in Covington, Kentucky. Lawrence, Kansas will see female super lightweights Brianna Fasori and Lissandra Franklin do battle at the Douglas County Fairground. And Tommy Hughes, 9-1, battle Mike Kovaromsky. He's 25-3-1, and that's for the vacant WBC Continental America super middleweight crown. That's taking place at the Dome at the Ballpark in Rosemont, Illinois. In Charlotte, North Carolina, unbeaten super lightweight Levante Early, 9-0, fights the 6-4 Marklin Bailey. And down in St. Petersburg, Florida, at the Marriott, the female bantamweight battle between Jasmine Ortega and Judith Hochbold ends tonight. It was Tuesday in New in Pennsylvania, one out west in Washington, out by Pittsburgh. That's at the Meadows Racetrack and Casino, where Clonte Irving and Darrell Bunting face off in the middleweight topper. And right up the road from here, the Genetti Manor in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, It's heavyweight Chaz the Gentleman Witherspoon, 38-3, 29 of those wins by knockout, stepping in with Curtis Harper, who's 13-6, 9 KO. And one last stop, we go up to Australia, Ontario, Canada, where Stephen Wilcox, 21-3-1, versus Gustavo A. Torres, 9-7-1, in the super lightweight main event. 22 countries going around the world the other way today. Started out in the Far East and came back over here to the U.S. So we go take a look at the world from the other direction. Here we go.
Yeah. How many countries?
Right.
How many 22. Countries?
32. 22.
Oh, 22. 20. Oh, okay.
22.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the magic carpet ride is doing it. It goes down, but it did land back in Pennsylvania. And, you know, up there with Chaz Witherspoon, who's a relative of Tim Witherspoon, is in action up there in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you know, Chaz, he has a lot of wins. He only has a few losses, Bob. So if he could get
He's 38-3. Yeah,
he got more fights than most of the contenders out there. Now.
That's true. Yeah.
And if he could get back at this stage of the game and get back in, get a couple wins underneath himself, maybe we can see him up against one of these heavyweight contenders. You know?
Yes.
In the future, if he can get back. And it's good to hear that Peter Quellen is back in action, a former world champion, is back at the bit.
He'll be on the card to at the FS1 show. Yeah, Peter Quellen, 34-1-1.
What a champion.
Super middleweight. Yeah. Yes, he is.
Yeah, and he can outright fight. You know, with him, I think with his loss and stuff like that, I don't think he was focused. He started venturing into a lot of other things instead of keeping his eye on boxing. You know, that happens to a lot of guys once they become champion. They're being pulled in so many different ways, and a lot of times they get distracted and they start venturing off from boxing. Boxing takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of commitment, and it takes a whole lot of training and a whole lot of practice, you know.
Yeah.
And when a guy does that, but it's good to hear that Peter's back in there giving it some, you know. But, Bob, you know, we have our guest, Bob Duffy, who just tuned in with Ring 8, and we want to welcome him into the World Boxing Review radio show. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine, and again, guys, thank you for having me on your show, and it's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much. You know,
you
have so many hats and so many great things that you do in boxing, especially, you know, with not fighting the other organizations, but Ring 8 is really something. Can you give us a little background about yourself and a little bit about Ring 8 before we go into the other thing?
Well, I love to. You know, I have to say that Ring 8, you know, has been in existence for close to 70 years now. It was 1954 when it first got its charter, and it was the scene in the New York boxing area. You know, you had guys from Jack Dempsey, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sandy Sadler were all members at one time of Ring 8. And the concept was, it was boxers helping boxers, but, you know, with the everything changing today, you know, we help the gyms, we help the amateurs, we help indigent boxers. So we try to do everything for everybody that's involved with the sport of boxing, because we do want the sport to thrive also, you know. So then that's why we do a lot, you know, we support the gyms. And we do this, you know, without, you know, asking anybody for donations. We do a couple of dinners, but we started a Hall of Fame. And with these monies, you know, we get to incorporate that we can do these things, you know. We wish there was more money, but unfortunately, you know, you've only dealt with a certain amount. But, you know, we're out there and we're doing what we can, you know.
Well, y'all do a great job, and I want to thank y'all personally is because I solicited to help a fighter with Henry Hascop that needed some help. And let me tell the fans out there is that without hesitation, Ring 8 stepped up to the plate, and the person got the help. The former two-time champion got help, and he got help. Y'all helped him put him back, and he's out doing the things that he's able to do. But it was effort with Ring 8 and Henry Hascop and y'all is that you got him back up on your feet, and it shows that what y'all are doing is really helping and it's really working. And I want to tell you personally, thank you, Bob.
You know what? The thank you is not necessary. You know what? The guys who are involved with Ring 8 and you know, we're heavily involved with Henry Hascop. You know, he's like the catalyst. You know, when we find somebody needs something, it's always basically through Henry that we get the information. But the idea is that we like to help people. And yet people, you know, we don't advertise who we help because we want to give whoever needs the money the dignity that, you know, he ain't asking for it, you know. And we like to keep it on, you know, on the down on that. And we give, you know, and we really do. And, you know, we tell the members because they have a right to know. But then in the end of the day, we never advertise it, you know. And there's guys we pay their medical, their eyeglasses. You know, there was one guy that we had. He's an old timer, great fighter, passed on. And one time we bought him a set of teeth. And the reason why is that our old partner, Tony Mazzarella, said, let the guy have a steak before he goes, you know. We're always willing to do something for somebody, you know, and I'm glad, and I want to thank you on behalf of the membership that you thank us, but we're happy to do it. Believe me, Mr. Snowell, believe me.
Well, thank you. You know, so many of your guys, man, they're around, man. They're such a ball full of joy and things like that, and when I can, I'm gonna help. We have some things coming down the pipe for later on next year. You know, I talked to Henry about, and we're trying to get you in that streamline of that donation that's going to be coming out. Some things that we're working together on for later on next year. But before we talk about that, Bob Murray, is there any questions for Bob here? The Bob and the Bob. Bob and Bob. Is that a great combination? Bob and Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
You can't go wrong, man. You can't go wrong. Hey, Bob, just go to can you just kind of go say what your area is versus, I mean, there's Ring 8 and there's more rings around the country. And all. Let's get a little history about, like, where your area is versus other rings.
Ring 8 is just a
like
local
that.
Organization. Originally, it started on 49th Street between 8th and 9th Avenue, right next to Madison Square Garden. So it was centrally located in the early 50s. And then over the years, there was a young gentleman named Tony Mazzarella, who had a restaurant called the Waterfront Crab House in Long Island City. And through his efforts and his generosity, we were able to use his restaurant. And we stayed there for like 15 years. Now we have like two locations, one in Queens and one out in Franklin Square. So this way you get a board of membership. And we have our monthly meetings. Every third Tuesday of the month, we have a meeting. We usually have guest speakers. And it's been an icon, I think, in the New York area for, like I said, close to 70 years now, you know?
Yeah.
And, we're just as popular then as we are now. But we're only a local. We're not nationwide or nothing like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Henry Hascop, welcome into the World Boxing Review, Henry. How are you doing?
Very good. Duffy is very modest. Let me tell you something. You know, I first met him when he was a promoter. You know, he actually called me up. He wanted a ring announcer, and all of a sudden he called me up. He was in dire need of a ring announcer. Make a long story short, I ring announced for him, and I liked the guy right away. But a few years later, you know, we had a problem with one of our presidents, and he had to go. And I think that was like in November, and we had our dinner the very next month. I think we only had like 3 or 4 weeks to go. And without hesitation, this guy, Bob Duffy, he stepped up big time. I mean, he in 3 or 4 weeks, he put the whole dinner together, and we had hundreds and hundreds of people there, and it was one of the most successful, you know, dinners we had in a long time. And right away, I said, man, this guy should be the next president of Ring 8, and sure enough, the next 6 or 8 years, that's what he did. And several years later, you know, I always thought, you know, with the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, I was always wondering why the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame didn't have a Boxing Hall of Fame. So I would go to Tony Mazzarella, you know, because he was like he had the charter for this thing, and he said, no, I need a building before that takes place. And I kept on telling him that, well, all these guys around here are going to be long gone, time to get a building, and he wouldn't really listen to me. But when I pass it on to Bob Duffy, he took the bull by the horns, and within a year or so, we had a New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, and now I think it's going into our eighth season. So, you know, Bob has done a lot. He was one of the commissioners on the New York State Athletic Commission, and, you know, he has a long history of boxing, you know, experience. In fact, he was one of the guys that was inducted a couple of years ago into the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame. So, I mean, you're talking to a guy that really is a boxing person, aficionado, you know, Bob Duffy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, your name, Bob, in the boxing circles is a number one golden. I mean, definitely you are a boxing guy. You know, all the stuff that you do and being a commissioner or president of the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame, also being president. But when are your dinners, dinner dates? So people, that's where you fundraise at a lot.
We're having a dinner on December 8th at Russo's on the Bay. And personally, and Henry probably agreed with me, he's on the board. We'd like to invite you and Bob as our guests this year. You know, it's on a Sunday afternoon, and it's an exquisite affair, and we personally would like to have you and Bob as our guests, you know. If you're able to make it, we'll send you an invite, and of course everything will be taken care of. We would love to have you.
And let me tell you something, Aaron and Bob. When you get there, they have this like breakfast. It's like a brunch thing. You get filled up right there. I mean, it's a long line of almost anything you want: pancakes, eggs, omelets, and bacon and all kind of fishes. And that's just for the breakfast. Then a few hours later, you know, the main meal comes out. So I mean, the whole thing is really really outstanding. You know, Russo's on the Bay puts out a great menu for us each and every year, and that's really nice of you, Bob, to invite these people out. I was going to ask you about that myself, but that's really nice of you.
Well, you can't get all the thunder, Henry.
What's that?
No,
you can't get all the thunder. I have to give some of it. Yeah.
No, hey, look, you guys, we'll make a contribution that night. We'll give you a contribution, is because I know the stuff that we do in the community is that every penny and every dollar counts, and we like your gesture of goodwill to invite us, but it's about these guys that you're helping. And you do such a magnificent job at doing it, is that we will give a contribution in our name from the World Boxing Review Radio Show. You know,
yeah, just let you know, Aaron.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, let you know, Aaron, that Ring 8 is probably the most prestigious and well-known ring in the entire world. I mean, Ring 8, like I said, actually goes back to 1953. We have pictures with a group in the gym that they were just getting started in 1953. I mean, this thing has been, you know, I mean, it's a local group, but it's, you know, you go back in the old Ring magazines and you'll see Ring 8 dinners highlighted throughout the whole magazine. I mean, I'm going, you know, each and every year that they had it. I mean, Johnny Addy, one of the greatest ring announcers ever, he used to MC some of these events, and you know, he had Ray Arcel, and you know, he had all these old timers used to come. I mean, it was who's who
every,
boxing.
Every dinner, not to interrupt, but every dinner, you know, we used to bring up Bo Jack and Kid Gavilan.
Yeah.
You know,
in fact,
so the icons that always came with Billy Graham and Coley Wallace and Doug Jones and. You know, the list is endless when I tell you that.
Yeah.
Linda Griffiths sat on the board of directors. The list is endless, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just good people who love boxing. And that's really that's the formula. Good people who love boxing, you know.
Now,
15, 20 years ago,
I think
15 or 20 years ago, I believe they actually buried Kid Gavilan and put a tombstone up there.
Kid Gavilan in Florida. That's correct. Ring 8. We did a fundraiser, and we took. Unfortunately, Kid Gavilan was in a pauper cemetery. We had the body exhumed and put into a Catholic cemetery, and we had a service down there where the mayor of Miami came, and we did a beautiful service. 10 of us flew down there, and we buried Kid Gavilan in a Catholic cemetery. You know,
wow.
So I mean, these are the things we do.
Yeah, see, a lot of people ask, you know, what do you do with the money? Well, this is what we do with the money. We help out former fighters, former people in boxing. Like Bob said, now the amateurs need help. We support them. You know, we support the local gyms that, you know, some of these gyms need maybe some equipment or something like that. We either buy the equipment or donate, you know, something for them and, you know, keep them going, you know. So it's a great organization. If anybody, you know, wants to join, just Google Ring 8. I think it's, ring8ny.com or something like that. I run the website. You can get a hold of me or Bob or the president right now is Charlie Norcus. You know, we have the meetings every third Tuesday. If you go to Plaidoitsch, it's actually the third Thursday. Our next one is going to be October 17th at the Plaidoitsch. So.
Now, where can they buy tickets? Can they buy and purchase tickets for the dinner December, 7th? Right?
December 8th.
I believe December 8th.
December 8th.
It's a Sunday afternoon.
They can buy, it's a Sunday afternoon. Now, they can buy the tickets over the website, or can they call? How can people reserve tables and, you know, if they want to bring a group or a
call my number, Aaron.
Okay.
You know, you got my number, which is 516-313-2304, or my email address is depcommiss. DEPCOMISH, depcommish at AOL.com, you know. Or you can get through through the regular website, Ring 8 New York, you know.
Okay. Now the dinner tickets, how much are they for if a person wants to come solo? How much?
$125.
$125 per person?
You start off with 12:30 to 1:45 with a hot and cold brunch. You get your seats and you get a 7-course dinner with all your beverages, whatever, you know, alcohol or soda, whatever you drink, from 12:30 to 5:30. And it's only $125.
Yeah.
And thanks to Russo's on our bank, Frankie Russo, because he knows that we're a charity, and so he does work with us on these dinners. So if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't make as much. So he worked for us and, you know, to make us successful. So that's why for $125 you get so much. And then we get a bunch of fighters that come.
Yeah. Well, you know, the dinner like New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, Henry was telling everybody the food don't never stop coming. So a lot of people said, well, oh, we got to see that. And let me tell you, the people that showed up that night, that were guests of ours that came from all over as far as St. Thomas and the islands over there when they came. They couldn't believe it, that how the food tasted. They just couldn't. They said, you pay for this here, this amount of money, and you get all of this? They were like, this food, man, is really gourmet-style food, man. They're like, wow, man, this is the next one. So they were like,
Bay is in the same category. You know, they do the same exact thing. So, I mean, the food is excellent over there, and I tell you, it's well worth it. You know, everybody says, oh, how much money it is, and all of a sudden they get there and they say, geez, how can you do this so cheap?
Henry's a deacon, so he knows how to take one fish and one bread and feed 5,000.
Yeah.
All right.
that's what a wise man are able to do. And Bob, we know you're definitely a wise person, and we'd like to thank you again for your contribution that you make to the community at large and the community of boxing. You know, at times it becomes overwhelming for everybody, and we just like to thank you for staying in the hunt and not getting discouraged, and the spirit, you can hear it in your voice that you have for helping people. And we know it wears people down sometimes, but hang in there, man. We thank you, and it is working, and you are helping a lot of people, and a lot of people are thankful for it.
Well, let me just say this. I've been on the board for about a dozen years, and as many ex-fighters or fighting people have come to us, and I don't think Ring 8 has turned down anyone. You know, if they need a free meal, or they need their rent paid, or the electric bill paid, or they need a bag of groceries, we're always there to help them. I mean, that's what the organization was made for. You know, boxers helping boxers. Now we, like I said, we branched out, like Bob said, to the amateurs and everything like this. You know, it makes you feel good. You know that. You know, like I'm a part of this organization, and a guy like Bob Duffy, you know, he's like the figurehead of a Ring 8. You know, when you say Ring 8, people think of Bob Duffy, even though he's not the president anymore. But people always think of Bob Duffy as Ring 8 because that's how much respect this guy has. And, you know, I mean, I can't tell you, like the one guy you were talking about, the double world champion, he actually called me up yesterday because he's going to another affair, and he thought I was going to it. And I told him, I couldn't go because of a certain reason. And he called me up, and we talked for a half hour on the phone. You know, and this guy was so grateful, you know, that Ring 8 and the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, reached out to him and got him, you know, his car back on the road, insurance paid. And, you know, he says, I'm in your corner all the time. You know, anytime you need me, just let me know. I mean, he was so grateful. And this is, you know, like I was talking to Bob yesterday, I think the two hardest words in the English language is thank you. And that's all
that's
you need. I mean, this guy said thank you. I don't know how many times on the phone in that half hour that he talked. I almost brought tears to my eyes. He is a double world champion, you know, that needed our help, and we were able to do it. I mean, it makes you feel so good inside, you know. And a lot of people say, why do you do it? You don't get a penny for any of this. No, there's more rewards than money. And when a guy like this calls you up and thanks you from the bottom of his heart, that's worth more than any amount of money that you could ever give me. I mean, that's worth it all. And, you know, Bob Duffy and Ring 8.
Really put him, It really put him on his feet. People don't know. He was doing training stuff like that in different gyms and things. And because he didn't have an automobile, it was broke down, he couldn't get around to the gyms to work and to get money. So it had set him back in so many other things, and he couldn't go volunteer in these different charity things neither, you know, to be a part of. So
I told him, you know, we don't mention anybody's name and everything. He says, I'll mention it. He says, when I go to this other ring that it's going to have their affair at the end of this month, he says, I have planned on announcing it. I said, well, I said that'll wake somebody up. He says, no, I'm going to mention it. He said, we should all work together, you know. And I said, that's the magic word. We should all work together. This could really be big if we all do that.
It's unfortunate that these promoters don't get, like, when they have these fights in these major arenas, there's not like a $2.25 or $2.50 surcharge, and that would go into a fighter's pension fund. So if you did that, just on people buying tickets, instead of buying a ticket for $40, you buy it for $42.50. That $2.50 goes into a boxing pension fund. Unfortunately, you got to get a company to run it. But that would probably be the easiest way of resolving a problem that these boxers need.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to have some organization to control that. Yeah. You know. I mean, we've suggested that to many of these people. But like yourself, you weren't a big time promoter. You know,
no.
I mean, you know, and like I have a friend of mine, Andre Cut. I mean, he loses money every time he has a show, you know. But the thing, you're right, you know, if these guys would just, you know, step up, or even the fighters, you know, the fighters just take 10% of their money and put it into a fund, you know.
But I'm saying if you charge like the extra $2.50 to the people who are buying the ticket, your promoters don't get hurt. The fighters don't get hurt, and the guy's only paying $42.50 instead of $40.
Yeah.
It handles the tax liability on the tickets. But this event that we're doing next year, which is going to be a big fundraiser, and hope that the money that we're going to send
Bob, you know, these people have been in touch with me and Aaron and everything like that. They're planning on running a cruise, a 3 or 4 day cruise with all boxers and organizations, and it's going to be, a spectacular event. I mean, it's well on the way. And, you know, and I told them, you know, that, you know, the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame and Ring 8, I believe Jill Diamond is going to go on there. I don't know about the IBF, but I said, you know, these are the people, you know, they said something about money, you know, where's the money going to go? The money's going to go to us, you know, Ring 8 and New Jersey. You know, so if there's any money to be made, we'll be making some money so we can, you know, fund our events, you know, so we won't have to worry about, oh man, you know, you know, we're going to lose money on this affair. We might have the money all right up front. You know, I didn't want to tell you in the beginning because, you know, I don't know how far, you know, I like to know for sure. I mean, it's pretty well underway right now. They're negotiating with a couple of cruise liners and,
that's wonderful. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, like I said, it's the first time I'm mentioning it, I think, to you. So, you know, I would just want to, you know, bring you up to speed what Aaron's going to talk about now. Maybe, Aaron, you can just fill him in on some of that.
Latanzer Eppinger and Jerry Ingerson. They're the ones who have put this venture together with Smart Gal, and our thing, she has a compassion for helping people. So she was at an event, and she said, "How can I help these boxers?" And I had told her because she gave us a Lifetime Achievement Award from the President of the United States. Henry was a recipient of that, and so was I.
This was Atlantic City, Bob.
Yeah. So she asked, how could we help these boxers? And I said, well, there's a lot of good charitable organization in boxing that truly, truly help people. It ain't none of that. They get the funds and people collect administrative staff salaries. I said, these people are really, really helping fighters, names, band people, and all that. She said, okay, well, give me those names and stuff, and we'll try to pitch the conception of the idea. They did, and everyone liked it. And so as they're working on what Cruise Line and the event, they have made certain commitments that they're going to help these organizations that we had mentioned. And we had mentioned Ring 8, the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, the WBC Cares program, and IBF. They're working on the letters, getting all of that stuff out as they work on the ships that they're going to cruise. But it's going to be huge, and the people are going to benefit. A certain amount off of each ticket is going to be donated across the board to these organizations. So
I tell you, that sounds great, man.
Yeah, I think when you believe in something, you know, you have to find somebody who's willing that have the same kind of heart that all of us have in giving and helping the community. And I think that's when it works, because they see the how people benefit. They do great fundraisers all the time for big corporations, multi-millions and millions of dollars. And they said, well, why not? Let's try to help these fighters. And they're trying to get where fighters can get affordable health insurance. So they're talking to a president of a health insurance company that said it's doable. Now they're trying to put all the nuts and components together to make that happen, the need. So that's coming down. That also is coming down the pipeline. But it all starts with great efforts like you, Bob Duffy, and Ring 8. What Ring 8 does, it shows that boxing always gets a bad rap when it comes to stuff like this. And boxing does so much. People forget in boxing, Bob, that a lot of times fighters start where they're the outcasts in different communities. You know, a lot of guys have trouble backgrounds. They couldn't make it in football or basketball, and they return to boxing, or a trouble kid. And not all the time trouble kid. There's good middle-class kids that love boxing that turn to boxing because they love it. But, however, boxing always gets a black eye, you know, when it comes to that. And there's so many guys like you, Bob Duffy, and Henry Hascop, that just does a tremendous job in the community. You know, when you help a gym out, when you donate a ring, if you go donate a bag, or you donate boxing gloves or speed bags to a local gym, that makes the world. When a kid comes in, he gets an opportunity to put them gloves on. He gets the opportunity to take his frustrations of life out on the heavy bag. Instead of going out in the street whacking somebody with a punch or something like that, get in a fist fight, he says, forget that. I'm going to go in the gym and practice. And when they find out is that they can earn money and get this big trophy and be good at something, man. That's what, you know, it turns so many kids' life around. It really, really does.
And that's what I'm trying to do. Yes, sir.
Give us a little insight on the charitable. And let's talk about the New York Boxing Hall of Fame, the Mecca. When you talk about New York, you're talking about the Mecca, you know, Madison Square Garden, and so much history that comes out of New York. Talk a little bit about New York Boxing Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what? I'm the president, and I kind of started it, but it was Henry pushing me that made it start, you know. I was, like, standing there, and he, like, pushed me, like, you know, who wants to volunteer to do this? And I got pushed in the back by Henry. But I did start doing it, and what we try to do is that, I tell you the truth, Aaron, the board of the nominating committee, and I don't mean to, is second to none in my opinion. I'm biased, of course, but I have Henry Haskell, I got the former president of the BWAA, Jack Hirsch, I got Ronnie McNair, who's a boxing historian and a judge, and also co-authored a book with Muhammad Ali on his biography. I got, of course, Henry Haskip. I got Don Majeski, who I consider one of the smartest men in boxing, Don Majeski.
Absolutely.
And Bobby Cassidy. So
Randy Gordon, too.
A group of men, and Randy Gordon, who's a former commissioner and, a radio announcer now and a TV announcer. So these guys make up the board, a nominating board. And I'll be honest, these guys are sharper than the other guy. You know what I mean? Each one smarter than the other guy. They're a great group. They come up with the names, and then with the names they give me, I work with what they give me, you know. And as
president, I
make it a point not to vote, but I do have a choice of one individual. But I don't vote on any of their selections. And the criteria now is that you've got to be
president.
A New Yorker. What's that?
With Randy Gordon being, on your board, you know, he was wrote for so many magazines, Ring magazine for number one, being the editor-in-chief for that, and all the rest of them at one time when they were all compiled, you know. So you have definitely a boxing brain when it comes to Randy Gordon. With Henry Haskop is second to none. Second to none. But Don Majeski, when you're talking about throughout the world, Don Majeski will tell you about a fighter. I don't care if he's 0-4 down in Australia. Majeski will know. You ask about Don. You ask Don Majeski that. Don Majeski will tell you about that 0-4 fighter way down in Australia.
Don's the smartest guy in boxing. When I was in the commission.
No question.
He had a problem with the chairman at the time. And I told the chairman, Mel Sutter, great guy. I said, let me tell you something. He's right. You can't argue with this guy. He's right. He knows what he's talking about. And it was during a major fight in New York. I said, this guy's the smartest man in boxing. And he really is.
Oh,
And he's a wonderful man, too, you know? He's a wonderful man.
Yeah, Don Majeski, oh, my God. You know, our travels all over the world, taking fighters over there with all over the world, we always run into Don somewhere overseas. You know, he's everywhere Don is, you know, and that's what makes him one of the person like he is. A lot of people respect his ability.
Oh, he's a wonderful man.
Oh, absolutely. We can't forget about the dinner, man. Let's go over that website one more time where people can get tickets and donate and all of that.
It's Ring 8 New York.
Yeah, it's Ring 8.
All
Ring 8
will be there.
Yeah, it's ring8ny.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ring8ny.com. And you'll see.
Okay.
You know what's going on there. That's our website.
But I do want to add one thing, Aaron, if you don't mind. I'm sorry. The reason why we started the Hall of Fame is that we want the guys that did their years in boxing. They didn't have to be a world champion. They didn't have to be a contender. They just had maybe some longevity. But we want to honor all the New Yorkers. We want a guy that was maybe 10-5 and maybe a couple of years from now. He's going to be honored. And then when his grandchildren see, what's that belt there, Daddy? Well, I got inducted into the Hall of Fame. We want a good feeling for these boxers to know that they're never forgotten. And that's one of the reasons why we do this Hall of Fame.
Well, what's the criteria to be in the New York State Boxing Hall of Fame? Just name some of them.
Well,
you had to live.
Now is that you got to be 50% of your fights have to be in New York. You have to be a New Yorker, or 50% of your fights in New York, or have a residence in New York. But you know, as the list gets thinner, what we're going to be doing is that expanding it to New Jersey, Philadelphia, you know, and Connecticut. You know, so we're going to expand it. But right now, we're just getting the core New Yorkers because we're only 8 years now. And then eventually, maybe in the 10th year, we'll expand it because there's great fighters. In fact, you have two great fighters. You had Tim Witherspoon at one time, and he fought four major fights in the Garden. Because I weighed him in.
Yeah,
I knew
that's
he,
right.
You know,
he
when
did.
He fought Cole and when he fought – so So, you know, he probably would be a candidate, say, 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah, and he fought upstate New York, too, in the Catskills. Cook Kushner's. He fought Bigfoot Martin up there. Back in that. Yeah, yeah. And Mitch Green, you know.
When
he fought Tyson in the Garden. I had him when he fought Mike Tyson in the Garden. That's how Mike Tyson entered into the ratings when he
That was Jose Torres' chairman then. But I must tell you about as Terrible Tim they would call him. When there was the Bogolato riot, he was a great man. He stood next to my wife because she was at ringside, and he stayed with her during the riot to make sure nobody touched her. A thing that touched my heart all these years later, I never forgot. My wife was there with my cousin, and Tim Witherspoon sat and stayed with her, you know, during the course of the riot, making sure she wouldn't get hurt.
He probably don't even remember that.
You know?
That's great.
Yeah, he probably don't. I'll say something.
He probably don't remember it. But he stayed with her, you know, for like an hour.
Well, that makes him even better. He didn't even remember it. That means he's done it before. You know what I mean? If you don't remember something like that, it's probably, that's the thing I had to do, you know? I mean, he probably would have done it for anybody. And, you know, he's seen your wife there, and he says, this lady needs some help. You know, she looks scared to death.
That was over there, you know, so he knew that was my wife, you know?
Oh, okay.
But he, perfect gentleman, stayed with her and everything, Mitch.
Yeah, that's so nice. That's so nice.
You know, so
Tim's that nice guy. Yeah, Yeah, he is. Tim has a heart full of gold. You know, it's a shame a lot of people took advantage of his kindness and his caring. He's a special kind of guy. You know, he is that. There's no question about that.
He's a very forgiving guy, too, because he had issues with one of the big-time promoters and everything. And I even talked to him about that, and he says no. He says, when I see that guy now, I put out my hand, I shake it, it's over, it's done with, you know, and I have to move on. I don't hold no grudges, which is fantastic.
You
got to
move on, you know. That's what makes boxing special, is that the guys in it make it. You know, the people like Mr. Snowell, Bob Murray, you, me, you know, it's a love fest that we have for the sport and for the boxers that make it drive and successful. You know, with our endeavors, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? It's the little ones that make the big one. You know, the big ones only come around every once in a while, but it's the little ones all the time where people's all the time doing stuff about boxing. You hear this and you hear that. It's what keeps boxing striving, and then the legend tale. Boxing has something that it brings. With the legend tales, there's always a storylining. There's always a hook, a line, a sinker that goes along with it. It's a tale that people like to hear. They love to hear of what happened in this great fight. This fighter, he came from nothing. He got this. He got that. You know, they just love it. And then that's what makes boxing strive.
You know, when you take care of that. You know, there's always a thing when I was with the commission, when you had these up-and-coming guys in New York would fight, they'd be like 6-0, 7-0. And one of these trainers would come up and he'd say, I got a kid, he's 1-5. Yeah, we'll fight him. And where's he from? Philadelphia. No, we don't want him. You never want the Philadelphia fighters, man.
That's right. That's your reputation, Philly.
Yeah, 10-0. I got a kid to fight, which is like a 2-5. Yeah, we'll fight him. Where's he from? Philadelphia. Nah, we're not ready yet. That's what's great about Philadelphia, man.
Philadelphia is known for its gym wars and them fighters coming out of them gym wars, and taking that war and that hard training onto the stage of an event, and boy, can they make some things happen, you know. But New York has its best, you know, with Madison Square Garden in New York. when you have a fighter and he fights in the garden, you know that your fighter has arrived. When he headlines the fight in the garden, you know it's about big time boxing. Because there's so much history in that garden. And you know if he can perform on that stage, he can go anywhere. Because it's big time boxing. But, you know, New York, you know, in there you have the legendary gyms. And then you have the characters in New York, too, Bob and Henry, that are around boxing that makes New York boxing what it is. And, you know, with the new arena up there in Brooklyn that's opening, they're putting on great fights up there, you know. Man, oh, man. Hopefully, with that heavyweight championship fight between Fury and Wilder, that it lands in New York. It was out in L.A. Bring it to New York. I think that type of heavyweight fight deserves to be in New York on that big stage. And regardless of the winner, they will merge and their name in the New York media be carried out across the world. I think that after the fight, a major star would be born, you know.
Yeah, that's why they call Madison Square Garden the Mecca of boxing. You know, that was it.
Well, you know, the Garden used to be, I think, you know, unfortunately the Garden, I think, lost some of its luster because their boxing program, they had a great boxing program, and over the last couple of years they seem that they're missing that luster for the great fights, which they should have.
You know? Oh, absolutely. It's about economics, too. You know, people don't want to pay, venues don't want to pay for a site fee, and some venues pay. A lot of those casinos will give you some benefit you know, the Garden and in place. So they end up losing different bouts. You know that. It's all about the dollar bills nowadays. But hopefully we can get some of them glimpses of yesteryear from time to time. Through boxing that we can have. But we hope when them boxers come, if this big fight comes, is that they take a look at these charities that are doing stuff to boxing, and they say, okay, a dollar off every ticket's going to Ring 8. When you play, you can deduct it on your taxes, and we're going to deduct it off our taxes because it's going to Ring 8. It was a 501(c). We're going to deduct this did this here, and boy, would that be a hell of a fundraiser, man. A big heavyweight championship bout. Money goes to Ring 8, man, from a heavyweight championship bout, and a dollar off each ticket is going there, man.
That was great,
man. That's what boxing's all about. They say, well, we're giving back to the boxing community in New York that are helping fighters that are struggling, man. It don't get no bigger than that. We have to talk about it. We have to put these thoughts in these promoters' heads because a lot of times they're just busy on trying to make these matches, and there's a lot of great fights that are coming up. These guys just got to start doing those things. And, you know, with a guy like Money Mayweather that brags about all his money, we got to talk to Floyd Money Mayweather, too. He got to throw some of that little money around the Ring 8, man, all that dough. He don't deserve to have all them millions like that, even though he does stuff in the community in Las Vegas. Money Mayweather, you got to step up to the plate and donate, baby.
Maybe he can give us the Giants for 3 points. And give it to the big one, man. The truth is, sometimes not giving money, you know, but even if they came to a dinner or something to generate something, you know.
We got to get them to show up. Look, he carries $3 million around every day in a briefcase with 60 seconds left Bob Duffy, we got to get you some money somehow. And Mayweather, you got it all. Donate some or come to one of these events in December 8th up there in New York. We're going to try to get them there. But, Bob Duffy, we like to, in closing, we like to thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show. What a great interview. Bob Murray, you're always from week in and week out, take us on this magic carpet ride around the world with the boxing news. In our great boxing historian, Henry Hascott, man, thank you so much for inviting Bob on the show, Henry.
My pleasure.
Great job.
Aaron, and I want to thank you and Bob Murray. I mean, you proved that Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Well, thanks for being on. Thank you for the work. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
All right.